With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. Episode 573 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. March 15th, 2024, it was supposed to be the day of the spring breakout game between the Padres' top prospects, the Mariners' top prospects, but unfortunately, the rain said otherwise, and that's why the game did not get played today. The lineup looked pretty good, though. I put out on social media kind of asking jokingly a question, how many teams would this Padres prospect lineup be able to beat? And maybe not just the lineup, I should say the pitching staff as well. Like, you add in Mazur, Lesko, Snelling, you add in those guys as well with the lineup and the other guys that were there. Maybe they could beat one or two of these major league rosters. And I'm not saying like how impressive the Padres prospects are. It's more of like Major League Baseball has a little bit of an issue here where there are teams that are obviously not trying to win, and those teams need to be spending money in free agency and making deals, and they're not doing that because they don't care enough about winning. They know they're going to make profits, and so they're just like, no, we'll just do the minimum. Fans will show up still a little bit. We'll get revenue from that. We'll get revenue from TV money, whatever. And they just they use this MLB team, having ownership in an MLB team, to use it just as another source of income for them, and it's a shame. You own a sports team. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. I get it's a business, but you should be trying to win for that city. And that's not happening enough in this league. But let's get to the Padres announcing their Korea travel roster. They're already in Korea, Seoul, South Korea. Dylan Cease was on a plane, I believe, last night. So he should be getting there, today? Maybe later tonight, at least our time. And be joining the team ahead of their exhibition games. At least for us, there's two exhibition games on the 17th, one at 3 a.m. and then another at 8 p.m. our time. So why couldn't they just have it be, you know, at 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. our time? Well, because they're not going to have a doubleheader. It's Korea time. They don't care about what time it is here. Or else they would have changed the game times for the actual two games, the opening first two games of the season, to better times for the United States, but they want to maximize the attendance, obviously, in Seoul, South Korea, which is understandable. They did that same thing, I think, when Ichiro and the Mariners played the A's in Japan years back. But they've already gone through their first workout. I saw the Padres post some pictures about that. And the 31-man travel roster announced, the one guy that stands out not being on there is Oscar Mercado. But the Padres, they probably view Mercado and Azokar as pretty much the same guys. Both guys are right-handed hitters. Both guys can play every outfield spot if you need them to. They can be pinch runners if you need them to. They can come late in games for defensive reasons probably if you need them to. And so why have Mercado take up a roster spot when you could have Tyler Wade, who can play infield and outfield? You can have Eggy Rosario on the roster. You can have Grant Pauly, who can play infield and outfield if you need him to. Brett Sullivan can play some infield, like first base. I think he could play corners if you absolutely need him to as well. So I do understand that decision from the Padres, but let's go through the entire 31-man travel roster. Pedro Avila, Johnny Brito, Dylan Cease, Tom Cosgrove, Yu Darvish, Eniel De Los Santos, Jeremiah Estrada, Woo-Suk Go, Michael King, Stephen Kolek, Yuki Matsui, Adrian Morahone, Joe Musgrove, Wandy Peralta, Robert Suarez, Randy Vasquez, Matt Waldron. Those are all the pitchers. Catchers, Campy, Higgy, and then Sullivan. Infielders, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Kim, Machado, Pauly, Rosario, and Wade. Outfielders, Azokar, Merrill, Profar, and Tatis. I'm not surprised by the names that are on this. It's not like there's any names where I'm like, oh, why the heck is that guy on this 31-man roster? The whole rotation was going to go. I question whether the entire rotation is going to make the 26-man roster, because in my opinion, why have Matt Waldron be on the 26-man roster for these two games in Korea when he doesn't need to be on the roster? If he's going to be a back-end rotation guy, why have him in this? Is he must have on your roster to go be a reliever for an inning? I think if you're deciding between Brito and Waldron for these two games specifically, you probably pick Johnny Brito. Maybe they go with Randy Vasquez over even Johnny Brito because they have Avila that could go long man because he doesn't have any options left. So they might want to keep him on the roster for now and kind of postpone that decision until like the 28th. Have him be a long man. Vasquez can be more of a reliever because we know he's not going to be in the rotation. It's going to be Brito or Waldron for the five spot. But yeah, for pitching, I put this out on social media earlier today. The Padres are going to have to cut four of the pitchers probably that they have on this roster. Actually, they will because there's a max, I believe, 26-man roster, 13 pitchers, 13 others. So like catchers, infielders, outfielders, 13 and 13. There's 17 pitchers right now. So four got to go. Do they have Dylan Cease make this roster and have him come out of the bullpen? Or are they going to say, no, Darvish and Musgrove were already scheduled to pitch. Why have Dylan Cease be on this roster? We don't want him coming out of the bullpen. Let's just have him off the roster. He's obviously here. We want him here in Seoul, you know, to get those relationships going with the rest of the club, the front office, the staff, the coaching staff, the trainers, teammates, all that. But we don't need him on the roster. We already had plans before this Cease trade on what we were going to do in these two games. So, I mean, I think he'll make the roster because it's a good weapon to have. And maybe one of these games is a bullpen day for him. And they can just use that his bullpen day. He'll pitch in a game because even if it's for one inning, that's a really good weapon, I would think, to have on your roster just in case something happens, right? But four of the following, so I did not include Dylan Cease on this. I said Pedro Avila, Johnny Brito, Jeremiah Estrada, Stephen Kolek, who's the Rule 5 guy. So if he doesn't make the roster, they have to offer him back to, I want to say it was Kansas City, either Kansas City or Tampa that he came from. Adrian Morahone, Randy Vasquez, and Matt Waldron. Those were the guys that I listed. Four of those guys probably will not be on this 26-man roster. And out of those four, if I had to pick four, I would say Morahone, Waldron. Oh, man, now it gets tough. Vasquez, and then probably Brito. Maybe they don't go as strong. Because I'm just thinking, why have Brito and Waldron? You can have Waldron and Brito go pitch the exhibition games and keep fighting for that fifth spot in the rotation. Right? Avila, he already has transitioned to the bullpen in that last Cactus League outing. Estrada, he hasn't given up a run. So maybe they want to go with him. I could see them having Brito be a bullpen guy and have Estrada just not make it. But if Estrada was going to be making this flight, I think that they were going to have him on the roster. And with Kolek, I think with the Rule 5 guy, they want to postpone that decision. And Kolek hasn't had a terrible spring, if I remember correctly. I think it's actually been pretty good. Let me double check that here. So I think that they would have Kolek be on this roster. So that's how I would do that with the pitching staff. Yeah, he small sample size, six games, but he did not allow a run, an earned run in spring training. And I want to go look at the team. I think it was Kansas City, right? Rule 5 draft. Oh, I'm seeing the Dodgers, actually. Was it the Dodgers? Or was it the Mariners? Because I'm seeing Mariners. Steven Kolek. I think it was the Mariners. In 2023, he was with the Mariners. So, yeah, I think it was the Mariners. I could be wrong on that, though. But anyway, whatever. The four guys that I would not include, I name that. And then not including one of the following, Brett Sullivan, Graham Pauly, Eggy Rosario, Tyler Wade. I would think that the one guy that they wouldn't include would be Brett Sullivan and just have him be the emergency catcher in case an injury happens. Because Pauly is here because he's going to be playing. I would be pretty surprised if he's not playing third base on opening day. You have Eggy Rosario as a bench infielder. Wade can play outfield and infield. I think you just have those two guys make it as utility type guys. Or the Padres could say, well, we want Brett Sullivan on this roster because he can play corners if you need him to, catcher, third catcher in case something bizarre happens. And then Rosario, Wade, Pauly, they all can play third, so take one of them off. Pauly's making it. They probably would then go with Eggy because he's more experienced at third. Or would they go? I mean, I personally would go with Wade because these two games, just having more versatility there. And look, your right-handed hitters are going to be your star players. If you can't get enough from your star players, your right-handed hitters in this series, then you don't deserve to win these two games against the Dodgers or any of these games against the Dodgers. I'm not taking Eggy to be like, well, he's the better bat between the two. Maybe you do that over the long run, but I'm not doing that for the two games. I mean, I rely on the pitching that you have and the offense. There should be enough right-handed hitters on this team with power for that to be enough. Now, at the same time, I'm going to say, well, I hope the Padres sign Tommy Pham, but I'm talking about these two games, not the entire season, but these two games. I think they're good there. So we'll see. Again, they're not going to include four of Avila, Brito, Estrada, Kolek, Morjon, Vasquez, Waldron. And they're not going to include one of Sullivan, Pauly, Rosario, Wade. Unless there's some big surprise or an injury happens. Profar, it seems like he's good with the whole ankle injury thing. He was walking without a limp, I think, on going to the team plane the other day. So it seems like everything is good there. But yeah, that's been the big news. Padres' 31-man travel roster for the Seoul series has been named. And they're in Seoul, South Korea, except Dylan Cease, at least it seems like as of now. And just a refresher, by the way, about the coaching staff, Mike Schilt is the manager, Ruben Niebla, pitching coach, Ben Fritz, bullpen coach, Tim Leeper, third base coach, infield and base running instructor. David Macias, first base coach, outfield and base running instructor. Victor Rodriguez is the new hitting coach, so whenever the offense doesn't score runs, blame Victor Rodriguez instead of the guys in the box, right? Because I see fans do that all the time. Mike McCoy, assistant hitting coach, just blame him as well. Pat O'Sullivan, assistant hitting coach, blame him as well. Brian Esposito, catching coach and game strategy assistant. Ryan Barba, my major league field coordinator. I believe he was doing like the spring training stuff that a typical bench coach would do. There's no bench coach, but there's a bench coach without like the official bench coach name, if you get what I'm saying there. Peter Somerville, game planning and coaching assistant. Roberto Andrade, bullpen catcher and coaching assistant. Morgan Burkhart, major league coaching assistant. Alan Craig, special assistant to the major league staff and baseball operations. Obviously, former big leaguer. Same thing with AJ Ellis and Craig Stammen, who are both special assistants to the major league staff and baseball operations, along with Alan Craig. Maybe there'll be some story from like the UT or from the Athletic about Craig Stammen this year, but that seems like a good addition. I know I talked about that when that news came out, I think in the offseason, that Stammen was going to be added. I mean, that's a good guy to have around. And then this coaching staff, I don't know really if we're going to know how much impact this coaching staff is going to have. I think a lot of the talk is going to be about Mike Schilt and how great he is in terms of fundamentals. And I mean, we've already seen many pieces from, I think, Kevin Acey in the UT. He just wrote one today, or whenever day it is in Korea. Maybe it's, is it Saturday in Korea right now? I don't even know. But he wrote one today about the urgency and playing fundamental good baseball, getting off to a good start. It had quotes from Manny in there and Cronenworth and Musgrove. So it's great. I love hearing that about the Padres and the urgency and fundamentals. And hey, those two games, Manny, I think was hitting, or maybe it was Crony hitting on this. Like when we look back at the end of the year, those two games in April, when we could have gotten a runner over, or, you know, played better fundamental baseball, essentially. Let's do that this year instead of having to look back at it, you know? So they've been practicing those fundamentals and the situational baseball. And so hopefully it's implemented, you know, right now it's words and actions do speak louder than words. So we're obviously going to be weighing the actions more than the words. So we'll see what happens at 4 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday when it's like the third inning or something. And it's first and third with nobody out. Do they lift the ball to the outfield to get the runner in, or do they ground into a double play? You know, do they try to swing big instead of just doing the situational things? There's a runner on second, nobody out. Do they hit it through the right side to just, you know, get the runner over and sacrifice themselves? Or do they try to hit a home run? Like little things like that. And I think the Padres, especially, I know it's just two games, but they're important games. You got to have urgency. I'm not going to say that the season's over if they lose both games. You know, Musgrove was alluding to that as well today, I believe, to Kevin in that article. But it's two important games, you know, two games that you're not going to be able to get back. And Padres missed the postseason by two games last year. It doesn't seem like that. It seems like they deserve to miss the postseason by like 10 games. But who knows when you're going to go on that run. And I feel like, I know that there's going to be a point in time this year where things are not going to be going great. Maybe they're on a losing streak or they've lost 6 of 10, 7 of 10, whatever. How are you going to get out of that? How are you going to go get a win when things are not going great? You're facing Tyler Glass now. You're facing Yamamoto. You're facing one of those great arms. How are you going to be able to go scratch a win, go get that win, a narrow win? Because guess what? It doesn't matter if you win 7-0. Doesn't matter if you win 1-0 or 2-1, and it's ugly, and it's a bunt that scores a run that the other team wasn't expecting. Whatever, they all count the same. They're all wins. So I'm going to be looking at that. The fundamental situational baseball. Sure, home runs are fun, you know, doubles in the gap and all that. But I care about winning, so I don't care if it's, you know, not the sexiest wins. I want this team to make the postseason. I want this team to go on a run. And that Dylan Cease trade, obviously, I think that helped. And hopefully the urgency, the fundamental baseball, the situational baseball, what they're talking about right now and saying that they're working on. It seems like things are going in the right direction there. Let's see if it actually happens when they're on the field. I'm not going to sit here and totally freak out if things aren't happening like that in the first two games, but I will probably say, hey, it's something to keep an eye on for sure. All right, quick break, and then I want to get to some outfielders that have signed recently that may have been on the Padres' radar. May or may not. At times this offseason, they have, because it's been reported, but I'll get to that here in a sec. Check out Gaglione Bros. Famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, if you want to join the show, just a reminder, you can click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. I will get to the chat as well here in a moment. But the Padres, I think a lot of us can agree that they still need another outfielder. I don't think that that outfielder would be joining the Padres in Korea and starting if they signed them, you know, today or within the next, you know, 48 hours or whatever. Like that's going to take some time. But they'd be there the 28th, the home opener, and be playing then. With the Profar injury, I'm not sitting here like, okay, now they definitely should go get another bat. I was saying that before the Profar ankle thing. It seems like he's fine. But I did see a little bit of that reaction there that, oh, now they need to go get an outfielder definitely because of the Profar thing. Profar should be a bench utility guy. He should not be starting every day in left field. Now, if we're a month into the season and he's playing really well and this is like 2022 Jurickson, okay, then maybe. But right now, coming off the year that he had, I want more offense there. And I know that Tommy Pham is not a left-handed hitter, but he's still out there. And look at what is happening. Michael A. Taylor signs with the Pittsburgh Pirates. 1 year, $4 million. Adam Duvall signs with the Atlanta Braves. 1 year, $3 million. That's it. I mean, A.J. Preller goes and makes a big deal in C-Steel. Like, he's trying to win, right? What's another $3 million? They're not near the luxury tax. They have room to spend. So why can't they spend $3 million on Adam Duvall? Now, maybe they tried, and Adam Duvall was more comfortable with the Atlanta Braves because he's played there before, and he's like, yep, I'm just going to go there. He knows the people there, the coaching staff, because it's remained mainly the same, teammates, all that. But, I mean, the Padres couldn't outbid the Braves on that. They couldn't give Adam Duvall $4 or $5 million if that's what he wanted. And so the Braves get him. Michael A. Taylor, I'm not super mad at. Like, Jackson Merrill is the starting center fielder. I'm on that train. If it works out, that's awesome. If it doesn't work out, then they'll just go to Jose Azokar. And that's going to be that. I mean, we know that their plan since the beginning of spring training, essentially, was we're riding with Jackson Merrill, whether it happens, whether it works out or it does not. And so we're going to find out. By the way, Jackson Merrill wearing number 3. Love it. Khalil Green's number. My favorite Padre when I was a little kid. So that's cool to see. And hopefully he continues some great play in that number 3 jersey. So yeah, obviously he's on the roster. Michael A. Taylor, getting back to him, like, yeah, Merrill's the center fielder. So I was not, you know, mad about this because I know what the Padres' plan is. And so for them to sign Michael A. Taylor, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. Who knows if he's going to perform like he did offensively for the Twins last year? Is he going to do that this year when he's playing at Petco Park? And they want to see what Jackson Merrill can give to them in center field. And Michael A. Taylor would be blocking him. I don't think they'd sign Michael A. Taylor to just put him on the bench. So, and how much of an upgrade is Michael A. Taylor over Jose Azokar if the Padres are assuming that Michael A. Taylor's offensive numbers are going to go down because he's playing at Petco Park? And Jose Azokar, he can play center, can play multiple outfield positions, fan favorite, you know, teammate favorite as well. I think the Padres are one of many teams this offseason that have been like, we've got someone here already in our organization. We know them. They know us. How really much of an upgrade is this guy that's a free agent on a one-year deal over the guy that we have. Is it worth it to spend millions of dollars on this guy when we can just go with the cheap, less than $1 million, I think is what Ozokar is probably making this year? We can just go with that as our fourth outfielder. And we can go with Profar for $1 million. Why go with someone else? I hope that's not what they think about Profar and Tommy Pham, because I think Tommy Pham is an upgrade. Adam Duvall, the Padres, I'm sorry. Look at the year that Adam Duvall had last season. The Padres could not, and Duvall's a right-handed hitter, I understand that, but the Padres couldn't use 20 home runs. Duvall hit 21 home runs this past year, a 119 OPS plus, 834 OPS. You compare that to Jerks and Profar, 80 OPS plus last year, 689 OPS, 9 home runs, a negative 1.3 baseball reference war. Duvall's was 1.6. And Duvall was hurt. Really good start to the year. He got hurt when he was playing with the Boston Red Sox. He can play all three outfield positions, I believe. He was playing some center with the Red Sox. So I know it's a righty, but that's cheap. Is Tommy Pham going to go that cheap? The Padres, if they bring Tommy Pham in, they may end up spending more money than what they could have spent on Adam Duvall. So I know I keep making these videos and keep giving my thoughts about how Padres see this outfielder go to another team. And I should probably just accept that, okay, there's no one coming. But I am holding out a little bit of hope because Tommy Pham continues to get connected with the Padres. The Padres keep getting connected with Tommy Pham. Robert Murray of FanSided had just put out something today as well, mentioning Tommy Pham and saying how the Padres have been interested in Tommy Pham. It feels like the Padres are the only team that keeps getting connected to Tommy Pham. And it feels like that's the no-brainer spot for Tommy. I just don't know how much money Tommy is asking for and how much money the Padres want to give Tommy, if they're willing to give money to Tommy. And they've expressed interest, so I'm assuming that they have a number that they've offered to Tommy, and he wants more than that. But Tommy, he should probably see that, you know, Adam Duvall signs for $4 million, $3 million. Michael A. Taylor signs for $4 million. If you want 10, Tommy, I don't know if you're going to get that. You're probably not going to get that from anyone. JD Martinez, not an outfielder, DH, but he's still out there as well. He's not going to get as much money as he wanted. That bar that Scott Boras set for him, it's not going to cross that, I would not imagine. So I wonder where these guys are going to end up. Blake Snell's still out there. Obviously, that has nothing to do with the outfield situation. And he's not coming to the Padres. But these guys are still out there. And I guess we got to remember, for the rest of the league, it's still not super urgent for them to go sign someone. They might be waiting for an injury to happen before signing someone because they don't want to spend the money if they don't need to go get that person because of an injury. But for the Padres, I mean, I think we're heightened with the urgency because it's March 15th and the season starts on the 20th. Maybe we should say, you know what, let's pump the brakes on it. Don't expect anything because they're not going to add to the roster. They're going to get through Seoul. They're all in Seoul right now. That's their focus. And then when that's over, maybe the Padres sign a Tommy Pham, someone like that, and he's good to go and come in into Petco Park on March 28th, and he's good there. So maybe that's what's going to happen here, and we're going to have to wait and be patient. But as of now, it's the same thing with starting pitching. I didn't think that the starting pitching was going to have a new member in it. I didn't think there was going to be any addition there. But then AJ Preller went and made a huge splash. So maybe that's coming. So maybe we should expect some sort of splash from AJ. When in our heads, I think part of our heads are like, don't expect it. Like, it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. But look what happened with Dylan Cease, with that splash. So we'll see. And it's not just free agency. Free agency, it's more easy to talk about because we know, like, they're a free agent. They're available. These other guys, is Max Kepler available and for how much? Anthony Santander, Seth Brown, how much? Cedric Mullins, I don't think he would be, but how much? What is the price tag? That's why it's kind of harder to talk about trades. So we'll see. I'm keeping a little bit of hope, crossing my fingers still that there's going to be an outfield addition. I don't know by opening day, but maybe early into the year if some of these guys still haven't signed and they need to find a team. Because right now, I don't like the outfield depth.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, Jose Azokar, okay, that's cool as a depth outfielder. Profar, it's cool as a utility bench outfielder, but I'd rather have a better offensive player in left field. I hope that Profar proves me wrong. Please prove me wrong. Prove Padres fans wrong. I think most of the fan base thinks that they need an upgrade in left. Prove us wrong, please. I'd love to see Jurickson Profar play well. I love watching him play. I love the positivity that he brings. Speaking of positivity, I like the talent that's on this roster. I think they could use just a little bit more, though. That's all. All right, before I get to the chat, some reminders about some of the great partners of the show, Gaglione Bros, Famous Cheesesteaks, and Garlic Fries. As that ad said a little bit earlier, Friars Road, main location, best cheesesteaks, garlic fries in San Diego. We are so close to being back at Petco Park, being able to enjoy Gaglione Bros down the third baseline, left field line there by the San Diego Sports Hall of Fame area there. Man, I can just picture that smell. That smell is really, really good. They're at Snapdragon Stadium as well. Breaking Tea, San Diego Sports sweatshirts, shirts, Padres, Aztecs, Wave. Wave, by the way, playing tonight. Challenge Cup, 5:15. Amazon Prime Video, Wave against Gotham FC. NWSL Shield winners against the NWSL Championship winners from last year. Can't wait to watch that. And then the Wave's season opener, because this doesn't count towards the regular season. Their season opener, home opener as well, is coming up next weekend against the Kansas City Current. Vlatko Ananovsky and the Kansas City Current on the 23rd. Buy one, get one free. There's that offer. San Diego Wave's website, or excuse me, not their website. You can get single game tickets on their website, but go to my personal Twitter account, at BenFaddenSD. Scroll down, you'll see the link. Buy one, get one free. Click that. That's where you can get that promotion offer. I believe tickets are as low as $9. So take advantage of that to sell out the Snap next weekend. Underdog Fantasy, 100% deposit match up to $100. When you use code Talking Friars, click that link in the description. Padres, when the season starts, obviously there's going to be higher lowers there. Obviously a bunch of other sports, college basketball, San Diego State plays tonight. So a packed San Diego sports night SeatGeek code Talking Friars, $20 off your first order there as well. All right. Let's go to the chat. Kirsten says another trade for outfield. It could happen for sure. I just wonder, what would that trade look like? What prospects would the Padres have to give up? Is it like Jacob Marcy? You know, what would that look like? That's what I wonder. I'm just checking social media real quick to see if there's any moves that I have missed. I don't think so. Jennifer, LFGSD, I'm pumped. Let's go. Ben, 87 wins and the playoffs. 87 wins would get it done, I think. Yeah. And if you look at the playoff picture on paper right now, it's the Dodgers as the one seed, probably, or the Braves. And then the Central, probably, would you say the Cardinals right now, or would you go the Cubs? The Brewers, that Devin Williams injury is huge. He's going to be out for, I think, a few months. So that's heartbreaking for Brewers fans there. And what, there's three wildcard teams? Right? I'm not going insane, right? Yeah, there's three. Hold on a second. Yeah, the three divisions and then the three wild cards. And the one and two seeds get byes going into the DS. There's so many different playoff formats nowadays in sports. I hadn't been thinking about the playoffs in a while. So right now, I mean, who are the wildcard teams? The Phillies, the Padres, I think, are a playoff team. And then I think it comes down to the D-backs or the Cubs. I don't think the Mets are good enough. I don't think they'll make it. I don't think the Brewers make it. I don't think the Giants. Yeah, I think Padres, Phillies, and I would say probably the Diamondbacks right now. Because they've got a good roster again. But 87 wins, yeah, that gets them in. Yama meatballs. I hope so. Hit some bombs there in Seoul. Imagine Ha-Sung Kim hits a home run in that series off of Yamamoto. That dome, Go-Chuck Sky Dome, I think is what it's called. That thing's going to go nuts. Would you be disappointed if they don't sign anyone else or trade for an outfielder by opening day? No, I wouldn't be disappointed because I don't expect that. By the 28th, yeah, I'd be a little bit disappointed because you go trade for Dylan Cease. Why not go make that extra addition? Why not spend a few more million dollars? Why not spend $6 million on Tommy Pham? I'm just throwing that number out there because he's probably going to want to go sign with a team. You know, have a job, go start somewhere. And it feels like the Padres make sense. That's like the one team that reporters constantly mention when talking about where Tommy Pham might land. JD's Third says Trevor Bauer is free, seen his latest video. I don't watch Trevor Bauer videos, and it's not happening. Okay, maybe you could crack the door open before the Cease trade, but there's no way it's happening now. And I don't even think the door was open. I think the door has been locked the whole time on Trevor Bauer. I haven't heard any reports of the Padres. Oh, they checked in on Bauer. Oh, they sent a scout out to watch him pitch against Dodger minor leaguers. And there was that quote that he had about how he thought he proved that he's one of the best pitchers in the world or something. It's like, dude, you face Dodger minor leaguers, okay? Let's relax. Any shot AJ wants to use these two early games as an opportunity to evaluate Jackson Merrill to really determine if he needs to push for a new signing? I don't think that's what it is with Merrill. I don't think that's really what it is at all. He's going to judge two games against the Dodgers on if he needs to go make an addition or not. I don't think so. I think he should know. He scouts and watches more baseball than probably any GM out there. He's around this team probably more than any GM out there. It feels like this spring especially. That's what Kevin Acey was saying on the radio the other day. So he should know this team. Him and Mike Schilt should know this team. They shouldn't need two games against the Dodgers in Korea. Sure, the Dodgers are a really good team, but they shouldn't need two games to evaluate Jackson Merrill. You've already started the clock on Merrill when he makes the debut. They're not gonna give Merrill two games and then say, nope, if he goes 0-6, they're not gonna say, nope, we're pulling the plug, that's it. When he has two games, and by the way, his first two games are going to be against Glasnow and Yamamoto, you know? If it goes bad for a month, 2 months, then they'll think probably about what's best for his development, what's best for him, but not after two games. I think that after the Seoul series, maybe they make an addition because they wanted to focus on the Seoul series, and maybe they're waiting for prices, the FAM price, to still go down, and him, for Tommy Pham's side, to be like, okay, fine, we'll go sign with you for less money than what we wanted. But they're not using those two games, I don't think, to evaluate and be like, all right, yep, these two games showed we need to go get another bat. Like, you should have known that about your roster before already. Yuki Matsui, at least that's the username, says, yo, Ben, congrats on landing Dylan Cease. Well, Preller did. Where were you when you heard the good news? I was driving back from work on the freeway listening to John and Jim. They were interviewing Scott Miller, and in the middle of it, Jim said that they traded for Dylan Cease. And we were waiting for the return, and I was excited, but I admit I did not do a full like fist pump, and I was not as excited as I was for Juan Soto, because Juan Soto is different from Dylan Cease, obviously. I was excited, but I was waiting for the return. I was like, okay, what's the return? I knew it wasn't Salas or Merrill, like that wasn't going to happen, but what was it going to be? And overall, I'm pretty satisfied. You know, you don't want to give up Uriarte, you don't want to give up Thorpe, but they kept Lesko, they kept Snelling, they kept Mazur, they kept DeVry. I don't even know if they could trade him because they just signed him. They kept Salas, they kept Merrill, Marcy, Martorella, Paulie. They kept a bunch of good talent. So you have to give up something to get something. Cody says, what number is Merrill? Number 3. At least that's according to Brett Sullivan's story on Instagram. He was pretty much videoing the clubhouse there in Seoul, and Merrill was there with his number 3 jersey. Ben, how do you feel about the Padres lineup? Is it top heavy? If yes, then how do you fix it before the season begins? I mean, you would make the lineup better by adding a bat, an outfield bat like Tommy Pham. But for the most part, this is their team. I mean, these guys, we know, like, they're major league contracts. They're here long term. They're going to be in the lineup. This is what the lineup looks like. And with Manny DHing, there's only so much you can do with who's playing third. And right now, that's Graham Pauly, I think. I would be surprised if it's Eggy Rosario over Graham Pauly. You put Graham Pauly on this roster for him to play every day. So, and it's another lefty bat. Maybe they start. I don't think that they would start Tyler Wade over Graham Pauly. Pauly shouldn't have made the trip then. He should have just been with Jacob Marcy, getting rained out in this spring breakout game then. To answer that question, how do you feel the Padres, or do you feel the Padres lineup is top heavy? Well, yes. I think that was expected though. I mean, with the names that you have, Kim, Tatis, although Kim's going to be lower. But Tatis, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Machado. Yeah, that's going to be top heavy. I mean, because there's not many talents that are the caliber of those guys in Major League Baseball. So you're not going to be able to have a whole lineup of those guys. So yeah, it's going to make it top heavy. I think that the Padres could have added another outfielder so that it could have at least looked a little bit better. Like, here's the lineup from their last spring training game, which I think was pretty similar to what you could see. Bogarts, Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado, Kim. Like, of course that's top heavy. You know, there's not a lot of Tatises in baseball. There's not a lot of Mannys in baseball. Some may be down on Manny, but he's still one of the best third basemen in baseball. After that, Profar could do better than that. Camposano, he could be one of the better offensive catchers in the league this year if he keeps progressing and gets that playing time. After that, Rosario Merrill. Merrill, question mark. Rosario, fill-in third baseman. Paulie, still question mark if, let's say, he's starting over Eggie Rosario. So, yeah, it's top-heavy. Bottom lineup doesn't look great. But I like Camposano, see what he could do. Kim, he keeps getting better. Merrill, he had a good spring. I know everyone wanted to freak out about, not everyone, but some people wanted to freak out about, oh, the start, his average in his first 8 plate appearances in spring training or whatever, and how people were raving about him despite him not doing great results-wise in his first 8 at-bats of spring training. But he had good at-bats. He had a couple of home runs. One was off Zach Gallen, by the way. So while the top of the it looks top heavy, the bottom of the lineup, there's potential there where at the end of April, we could be saying, well, it actually isn't that top heavy. It's a better lineup than maybe what we thought it was going to be. I sure hope that, Cody. Camposano will have a breakout year along with Merrill. I hope so. Because, I mean, Campy last year, before he got hurt, he was doing really well. I mean, he hit .319. He had a .134 OPS plus, .847 OPS. That's pretty darn good. You know, the playing time that he got, that was pretty good. It was a good catching combo offensively with Gary and with Campy. The problem, obviously, was the injury. So, like, that's where it could become an issue. Is if Campy obviously gets hurt, and you could say this about plenty of teams in baseball, if he gets hurt, Higgy steps into an everyday role, and then Sullivan is catching as well. And so, like, there goes one more power option in this lineup. So that's the worry there. But, yeah, Camposano, I mean, he had a good year offensively at the plate. So we just got to hope that he can stay healthy. Compared to the start of last season, there's no Grish, no Nola. Would you consider this year's lineup to be better? I mean, when you subtract Juan Soto, I get it that there's Camposano, not Nola. But left field last year was Juan Soto. This year it's Dierks and Profar. And a lot of the names are still what it was last year. So I don't know. Like, I think it's at last year, at this point, I believe I was saying that there's still that power potential with Grish. And he can't have another bad year, right? It has to be better, and it wasn't better. It was still a bad year. So, right now, I mean, we don't know. Merrill could have a Grisham year offensively, and it's the same thing. And then you look at left field, like I just said, you subtract Juan Soto, and you have Dierks and Profar there. Like, that's rough. So I'm not going to sit here and say the lineup got definitively better. I can't say that. Maybe you could say, well, it's kind of the same because Camposano is an upgrade over Nola catching, but Soto is a huge upgrade from Profar. And the Padres don't have Soto anymore, right? But opening day last year, they didn't have Tatis either. So I guess you got to put that into account. I wonder if someone had like stats on the lineup, what that would look like if we compare those. Like, what exactly would that look like there? Because I look at FanGraphs right now and see what the projected lineup looks like for them. Bogarts, Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado, Kim, Pauly, Camposano, Profar, Merrill. I think that's pretty accurate. Last year, if we go to, I'm looking up their opening day lineup. Maybe I should include Tatis, but I mean, if we're comparing opening day to opening day, Tatis wasn't there. Let me go to opening day here against the Rockies, which was a 7-2 loss. Okay, so opening day last year, Grisham, Soto, Machado, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Matt Carpenter, Austin Nola, Ha-Sung Kim, David Dahl. Would I rather have that lineup or would I rather have this lineup? So Grisham was replaced by Merrill. Soto was replaced by Profar. Manny, Bogarts, Cronenworth. I guess you say Pauly is replacing Matt Carpenter because Manny's DHing, so I'm putting Pauly at third, but Manny was in that lineup last year, so that's how I do that. Camposano replaces Nola. So in terms of upgrade, Tatis replaces Dahl. So in terms of guys that are upgrade, so comparing this year to last year, replacements. I'll say yes on center field just because there's the potential. I'd rather have the who knows what Merrill's going to give than Trent Grisham. So I'll go Merrill, yes. Left field, no. Soto and Profar. DH, Pauly over Carpenter. I mean, we were kind of high on Carpenter at the time, but knowing that what happened, I'll go Pauly because it's the unknown that is appealing. Camposano over Nola, yes. Tatis over Dahl. So yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's 4-1 there on the replacement. So yeah, I'll say that this lineup is better. Or this is the preferred lineup. I'd love to have Soto in it, but this is probably the preferred lineup. The competitor in me, though, is like, they can still improve it. You just acquired Dylan Cease. Like, why can't you go spend a little bit more to improve it on paper? That doesn't mean it's going to be better, but AJ Preller can't control what these players actually do on the field. Jeffrey says, what do you feel like the odds are after getting Cease if we're at or under 500 at the deadline, Kim gets dealt? I don't think so. I mean, it depends. If they're under 500 and they're like, you know, six games out of a playoff spot, then okay, maybe. But if they're anywhere close like last year, I mean, last year, if they didn't, I don't think Preller is going to learn his lesson when his job's on the line or his job might be on the line. He knows that Kutsuna does not like him as much as Seider liked him. No one does. So if they're anywhere close to a playoff spot, I don't see how Preller is going to trade Ha-Sung Kim. Because how does that make your team better? Unless he gets a guarantee from Kutsuna that you're staying no matter what for 25. If he doesn't get that guarantee, then no, he's probably keeping Kim and just going to go try for it. Because I think the writing was on the wall last year, and they made mediocre additions. G-Man Choi got two hits. They acquired Rich Hill. You know, the writing was on the wall, and they didn't trade Snell. They didn't trade Hader. Maybe part of that was because of Peter Seidler and the health there that Preller probably knew more about than we did, the public. And if that's the case, then I guess I do understand that. But no, I don't think Kim's getting traded. Really, regardless, unless the Padres really suck, which I don't see happening. If they really suck, then I guess, but if they're anywhere near it, then Preller's probably going to say, they can make a run. Look at the talent we have. Let's make additions. we don't make the playoffs, I'm probably gone. I might be gone. Ben says, the way it looks, Pham probably is coming to San Diego, of course, if he signs slash how much. But I feel like Brandon Belt is a better option, especially as a lefty. I think with that, the Padres are probably waiting to see what Grant Pauly does. If that doesn't work, then they can go sign lefty bat Brandon Belt. Because they're probably looking at it as how much of an upgrade is Brandon Belt over Grant Pauly? And they don't know the answer because they haven't seen Grant Pauly at the big league level. But Brandon Belt would not cost that much, I don't think. If Adam Duvall is costing, you know, $3 million with the Braves, how much is Brandon Belt actually going to cost you? So I understand that for sure. And yeah, that would be an appealing option, but I think that they want to go with the youth movement, see how it does before going to the vets if it's not working out. Brandon Belt might be signed and then they lose that option, but I think that they're willing to roll the dice and see what Grant Pauly can do at the big league level. All right, that's going to do it. Talking Friars episode 573. Padres announced their travel roster. Let me know your thoughts. What do you think? Any surprises with this 31-man roster? Who do you think is not going to make the 26 men, but just be on the Soul Series taxi squad? There's going to be some tough decisions. Interesting decisions as well, because the Padres, they're going to treat this differently than they will probably the March 28th roster as well. So we'll see. March 17th, two games, one day, 3 a.m. and 8 p.m. San Diego State plays tonight. Wave plays tonight. Can't wait. Talk to y'all later. See ya. Thank you so much for the time.